This year it's being dedicated Leilui Nishmas Maras Rachel Leah Bas Chaim Tzvi. I'd like to look at one medrash in this week's Parsha Vayeshev. It's a medrash which is a very famous medrash. The source of it is found in the Yalkut Shimoni, Rus Rabbah. But it's a medrash which is connected to our Parsha. And I think the medrash teaches us, like all midrashim do, mamish the yesodos, the fundamental aspects of life, and there's a tremendous amount of insight that we can learn, and in so doing we will gain insight into different ideas that are found within our parsha. The medrash is focusing in on the story when Yosef is being having these feelings of animosity between Yosef and his brothers, that he goes out to check on his brothers at his father's behest. The brothers see Yosef from afar, and they design to throw him, to kill him, and Reuven insists that, no, I have a better idea, let's throw him into a pit, let's not kill him. On this, the Medrash says the following, let's learn together the English in Source 1. Rabbi Yitzchak said, the Torah teaches us that when a person does a mitzvah, he should do so with a complete and happy heart. The two necessary components in doing a mitzvah are, one, having a completeness in the mitzvah, and the second is a simcha, a happiness in doing the mitzvah. And the Medrash continues, had Reuven known that the Torah would record that he attempted to save Yosef from his brothers, he would have put him on his shoulders and run home with him. Had Reuven known that would be put into the Torah that he wanted to save him, so he wouldn't have just thrown him into a pit. He would have managed taking Yosef, put him on his shoulders, and brought him back to his father. He would have felt a tremendous responsibility for his brother. The Medrash continues with two other examples. And if Aaron had known that the Torah would record that he would be happy when he met Moshe Rabbeinu, after the story of the snare where Moshe was chosen to be the Redeemer. And the Pasuk tells us, V'ra'acha v'samach b'libo, and he'll see you and be happy in his heart. He wouldn't have had it just suffice it to be happy in his heart. He would have come out with two people, with macholos, with drums, with cymbals. He would have had a gala parade in greeting Moshe Rabbeinu. And if Boaz had known that the Megillah would record that it gave Ruth some parched grain to eat, he would have given her a royal banquet. And the Medrash concludes, and this is the middle of source number 5. Now, when a person does a mitzvah, who records it? Who writes it down? So Eliyahu writes it down with Melech HaMashiach, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Chotem al Yadehem. Kadosh Baruch Hu signs an affirmation based on a pasuk in Melachi, the last Navi, then those who fear Hashem spoke to one another, and Hashem listened. We look at this medrash, obviously there are quite a number of issues that need to be analyzed and discussed. The first being is, it seems that the only impetus that a person would do something appropriate and positive is if it's written down. How are we to understand this? We're talking here about Gedolei Olam. We're talking about Reuven, who was one of the Shiftei Ka, the eldest of Shiftei Ka of the tribes. We're talking about Aaron HaKohen. We're talking about Boaz, who was a manhig, who was a shofet, who was a leader. We're talking about tremendous people. What does that medrash mean? Had they known that it would have been written down, they would have done A, B, or C. Is for that reason you do something, if it's written down, if it's not written down? And Bichlal, in general, what does this concept mean if something is written down? And further, we need to understand the message of the medrash. The message of the medrash to do something with a happy and complete heart, what is the medrash telling us? What's the lesson that we need to derive from this medrash? And obviously a medrash of this beauty and complexity has many levels to it. One which we're not going to go through is brought down on the first page in Rabbi Friend on the Parsha, where he understands it about this medrash is a paradigm when people have a certain amount of uncertainty, where people are not sure themselves if this is correct or not, and hesitate because of the seal of approval, and that a person needs to go ahead with what they know what is correct, without being afraid of the mockery and of the response that may happen. And that indeed is one approach that one can read at one's own leisure. I'd like, however, to take a look at two different levels of this medrash. The first level is going to focus in on the concept of doing a mitzvah with a happy and complete heart. And the second is going to focus in on the concept of what does it mean that if they had known it was written down. What's this concept of writing down mean? And what is the Medrash trying to tell us that today, when we don't have a Chumash and a Navi, that we have Eliyahu HaNavi, a Melech HaMashiach writing it down, and Kadosh Baruch Hu's Chotem al Yadehem, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, God, is sealing it. The first level I'd like to look at, which is understanding the beginning of the Medrash, is an insight in Rabbi Lev Sefer Outlooks and Insight. He notes in source number 7 that throughout the Torah, we find completion and wholeness taking precedence over quantity. Thus, a whole roll takes precedence over a much larger piece of bread when you're reciting the Hamotzi. So in Yiddishkeit, we have a concept that if you have something that is whole, if you have something that is complete, that takes over, halachically, a certain status. So I could have a humongous wedding challah that is cut up and a tiny little lachmaniyah, a tiny little roll. I would make the hamotzi over the little roll because it is whole over the cut up piece. From this we learn, continues Rabbi Lev, that our avoda, our service of God, is measured not by quantity, but by how close it comes to perfection. This runs counter to the world at large and the influence of the world at large, of the Western culture mentality that we are so affected by in our life. We always think the concept of the bigger, the better, and that the more grandiose something is, obviously it must have greater value to it. And the answer is no. When we're looking at pure avoda, when we're looking at service, we're not looking at the greater, large grandeur in it. We're looking for that kernel of shleimus, that kernel, that quality of perfection, of doing it properly, doing it appropriately. And that's why we know parenthetically that if a person accomplishes a tremendous amount in this world, but doesn't do it to the fullest of their ability, and they don't invest their entirety of their being in what they're doing, to a certain degree they have accomplished less than somebody who was born with less ability, with less capabilities and tchunos and nefesh, and less certain basic characteristics of the soul that will allow him to flourish in this world. But this individual takes all that they have and they give it 100% to what they're doing. In a real respect, the person who has accomplished less but has done it wholeheartedly has accomplished more than those who have done a lot but a little in the alot. Continues Rabbi Lev. We are obligated to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that means to be complete with Him. Hashem is the closest to perfection as we know it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. We emulating God have to try to reach this level of perfection. And that is why he notes that a Kohen, who is the ultimate reflection of the Shaliach, of the representative of God in this world, he therefore has a higher standard of shleimus, of completion that he must reach. And that is why he notes, and it's a very interesting understanding, that the clearest sign a man's inherent imperfection is death. As the verse says, I said you are angelic, sons of the Most High are you all, but like men shall you die. Because man's mortality constitutes the greatest denial of his quest for perfection, the Kohen, the priest, who is to be the embodiment of perfection, is severely curtailed in his contact with dead people, because we want him to be around and to surround himself with the ultimate aspect of perfection. Therefore, in 9, the main consideration is that one direct and concentrate his heart toward heaven. What we can control is the intensity of our desire and purity of our effort for the quest of perfection. So much of what we do is out of our hands. But what the Medrash is telling us, when the Medrash begins, that a person who does a mitzvah should do so with a complete and happy heart, the Medrash is telling us the mindset a person should have. That when I do any action, whether it's big or small, I should have total concentration and intensity that I am doing this mitzvah to the utmost. That if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it to the fullest. And I'm going to do it in the best way possible. And I'm going to do it besimcha. I'm not going to resent doing it. I'm going to put my entire being into doing it. That is what's demanded of us. Will we always be successful? Will the results be what we like? Not always. But I can assure from my perspective, from my point of view, I have given it my all. And that's why in each instance in 11 cited by the Medrash, there was doubt as to what the proper conduct really was. Reuven was unsure if saving Yosef was proper after the brothers judged him a threat to their existence. If Moshe questioned his own suitability to be the Redeemer, Aaron likewise had the right to have reservation concerning his brother's appointment. And similarly, Boaz had grounds for doubts about the convert Ruth, not knowing her sincerity and character. Hence, they acted without the complete and happy heart that could have made their mitzvahs perfect. In each one of these cases, there was a certain doubt. And because of that doubt, they did not do what they could have done with their entirety of their being. And therefore, there is a result, there's a concrete consequence. Because they didn't do it with a complete and happy heart, notes Rabbi Leff, we find that there was a blemish is reflected in the outcome of their actions. Yosef was sold into slavery. The mission to Paro met with initial failure. And David's lineage was questioned. All of this, he says, is as a result of not doing something with a complete and happy heart. My friends, let's try to understand this a little bit more deeply within our own lives. And what the challenge that each and every one of us on a daily, hourly, moment-by-moment level is challenged with. We're challenged with trying to reach a level of perfection. Trying to move ourselves into a level that is beyond apathy and beyond just doing things by rote. As the Ben HaMishpatayim, Rabbi Finn notes in his Sefer in source number 17, in an essay regarding Noach, where he speaks about a person always has to move forward and can't live on a level of pashtos, a level of simplicity. And he quotes here a Gevaldic saying of the Saba of Kel, where he told his Talmidi, Yeladi, my dear students, Al tachyu be'ofen pashut, don't live just like a pashut a yid, a simple person. She'im tichyu pashut, tisharu pshutim, if your mindset is that of just the basics, apathy, and you know, just doing what you have to do, that's how you're going to spend your whole life, and that's a messias, that you can be davening, and you can be doing mitzvot, and you can be learning Torah. But nevertheless, you're going to remain pshutim as simple people. Valenu tamid lishof lo lishair pshutim, and we have to strive to go beyond that level. V'shekol limud v'tfilah v'kiyum mitzvot yiyu kli v'achana l'gadlut v'itromimut. And our job is to take our life and develop ourselves and move beyond and say, how can I become a better person today? How can I invest a little bit more in what I'm doing? How can I focus more intently when my children are talking to me? How can I do this mitzvah with a more of a simcha, more of a shleimus ha-nefesh? And I do this cheshbon ha-nefesh, okay, I did a mitzvah and that was great. How could I do it better? How can my davening be better? How can my chesed be better? How can my limud Torah be better? That's the question of using what I've done as a stepping stone, as an impetus for growth, for in developing myself even more. And this is the imagery that in sources 13 to 16, Rav Dessler speaks about the English in front of us in sanctuaries in time, where we know that after Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos, broke the tablets, the shivrei luchos, the broken tablets, were placed in the Aron, in the Holy Ark, with the regular tablets. And the obvious question is, what's the connection? Why were the Shivrei Luchos? They're broken. Why do we need to have them with the new Luchos? And Rav Dessler offers very powerful insight. And this is the insight that we need to walk away with life, is that the Shivrei Luchos reminds us of the Madrega, the level that Klal Yisrael reached at Mamon Har Sinai before they sinned in Chet HaEgel. This is the height. We were on a level of Adam Arishon before he sinned. We were on a level of complete connection where we've really eradicated to a certain degree the negative influences on us. And we need to always remember this. Because when we say, Matai Yagiu Ma'asai L'Ma'asai Avotai, when will my deeds reach the deeds of my forefathers? It can happen. We need to have a she'ifa. We need to have goals. We need to have vision. If our vision is a low vision, if our vision is something that's going to be just mediocrity in our lives, will lead mediocre lives. If I have a vision of the Shivrei Luchos, if I have a vision of look what I can achieve, look what I can accomplish, I can come back to Adam Arishon before the sin. I can reach the level of the Avos and the Imos HaKadoshim. So then I have something pushing me. Then I have something that is sparking me to continue, to develop, to question, that I'm always the person who's growth-oriented and I don't lead a life of mediocrity. But here, my friends, we get to the essential question. How? How do I move from a level of rote, of mitzvot anashim ilumada, of doing things that have habit, to a level of passion, a level of shlemus, of completion, of simcha, that the Medrash describes? Now, obviously, my friends, there are many answers to this question. And in all the answers, it's something that has to be tailor-made for every person. Sometimes it's hisponenus, it's just realizing in contemplation. Other times it's having a structure of people around us, a Rebbe, a Chavir, a friend, who are good impetuses for us to develop and to grow. But I'd like to make a suggestion that will be perhaps a mahalacha, perhaps an approach on how we can increase and develop and improve our performance package, so to speak, in our Avodas Hashem. And I'd like to work through briefly now a wonderful essay of Rav Olbe Zatzal in Alei Shur about the Koach HaMaisa, the power of the action. And he begins in this essay by describing, and this is 17 at the asterisk, the very famous line of the Sefer Chinuch that's often quoted, Da no ki adam nifal kifi pulata. Know and recognize that a person is affected by that which he does. And he brings down here, V'libo v'cho machshvotav tamid achar masav. Your mindset, your heart, is really very much a reflection of your maisim. And he knows that a person could be a Rasha Gomor in his heart and have just negative thoughts. But if he is involved in Vasko Batzvada B'Torah Mitzvot, he's involved in a lifestyle of Torah Mitzvot, after a while they will have an imprint on him, and this person will Miyaji Natea Latov, will be affected for the positive. There is a very powerful component called the Olam HaMaisa, the world of action. And it continues in source 18, quoting the Rambam. We're very famous Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, that the Rambam comments on the concept of V'hakol Lefi Rov HaMaaseh. It all goes according to Rov HaMaaseh, the abundance of action. And the Rambam in his Peirush on Mishnah notes that a person can be a Nediv Lev, a generous person, and think for hours about generosity and have the deepest thoughts and concentrations about generosity. But that's not what's going to make him a generous person. And the Rambam goes further, and it's a gewaltic insight. If a person would write out a check or hand somebody $1,000, in any denominations you want, one person $1,000, one check $1,000, or a person would give 1,000 people, $1 each, says the Rambam, it's better if a person would give 1,000 people, $1 each, rather than giving once $1,000, because that's what's going to develop Nedivah Slave. That's what's going to develop generosity. When I give one person $1,000, I've done one act. It's one act of $1,000. When I've given 1,000 people, or 500 people, whatever denomination you want to use, but I give many people a smaller amount of money. And we're not talking here about the levels of tzedakah. We're talking about how do you instill within yourself. And this isn't divas lev, this is generosity, and it works for everything. How do I instill this within me? By doing. Every time I put my hand into my pocket, my wallet, and I hand that bill, I have opened up the pathway to understand, to realize, to grow, to develop. V'adam nifal kefi polosav, and I'm influenced by each and every time I do that action of giving. Every time I point the coin in the tzedakah box. What a wonderful midos it is to every day put in a quarter, a shekel, something into the tzedakah box. A small amount, but it's, aside from obviously the other tzedakahs we give, but it's training us each and every day, nedivah slave, give, give. But Rav Wolbe goes even one step further, and he says, this idea is really based on a big yesod in Torah. It's the yesod that the Ramban develops from Mamish Maisa Breshi, from the beginning of creation. There's an idea, notes the Ramban, that there was this one koach yuli, this one original innate koach, power. And from there, the world was created. And he speaks about the Ramban, that each day of the creation has within it the potential of 1,000 years. And that what happens is that you have like a seed, that everything else, the 1,000 years, are condensed into that one day. And this, says the Ramban, is the concept within us as well, that there is a concept of a tremendous amount of koach. There's a concept of being a tremendous amount of potential, the power of creation, the power, the inert material that is ready to sprout and to develop. And our job is to take that potential, like almost use that microcosm of the entire 1,000 years is found in that one day. The entirety of our being is found within us. And we, like those 1,000 years, have so much that needs to be developed. The way the Ramban classically notes this is source number 22 and 23 by the Akedah. The whole point of the Nisayon, of the trial, of the test, by the binding of Isaac, in the language of the Ramban, is Lohotzi Hadavar Min HaKoach Al HaPoel, to take from the world of the potential and to actualize it. And he says in 22, let's learn together. La Adam Nitna Neshama Elyona. This is one of the most fundamental ideas we need to inculcate within ourselves and future generations. Every person has a Neshama Elyona, a very deep and lofty soul. Mi Yodea Kama Kedusha V'Kama Ma'alo Tvunopo. Do we have any sense? Do we realize how much Kedusha, how much holiness, how much power is found within this? It's all in potential. Avodateinu hi, our job is lohotzi kochot elu kulam el hapoel. What an exciting life. To take that which we have and be able to develop it. You know, we see this with a child. When a child begins to blossom, and different talents of the child begins to come out. And we see, b'moei neinu, we see in front of us how this potential is developed and it sprouts. And there's something very powerful and exciting about this. But my friends, let's not remain on the level of the sarcastic adult, the cynical adult who says, that's with kids. But me, it's too late for me. I am who I am. I'm in that rut. That's mediocrity. Greatness is, wow, I have a storehouse, and there's so much about me. I don't care if I'm 90 years old. There's still so much about me that I haven't developed. And I have to legalot kol ha'malot liknot otam. And I have to reveal, and here's the key, and acquire these midos. Adayin halev hatov sariach lagia leklal ma'aseh. Our good heart, our good intention, our good thoughts have to lead to the world of ma'aseh. And that's why we can appreciate in 25, says Rav Wolbe, when Chazal tell us that greater is hachnasar orchi than to be makabel p'nei ashchina, that greater is inviting a guest than having a one-on-one with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That Avraham Avinu is having a intense prophetic experience, says, according to Chazal, please Hashem, wait, I'd like to take in these guests. And what we see from here is that it's beautiful to have this prophetic vision with God. It's beautiful to contemplate these wonderful ideas of lofty levels of connection. But you want to know it's even greater? It's the Olam HaMaiseh, it's the deed of inviting in a guest. That dry act of taking in strangers and feeding them bread and water, that is greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina, than having this rendezvous with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why? Because this is Klal HaMaiseh. This is the world of action, and that's what's being demanded from us. It's to be able to act and realize the import of action. Action is the what is going to have the most effect on us. It's going to be the medium for us to grow. It brings out our potential. And then when I see what my potential is, then it brings out even greater potential and greater potential. And you have a very positive domino effect. And indeed, there's a Gevaldik Medrash in Source 26, where the Medrash speaks about, on the Pasuk, Avasitem Otam, that you should do them. The Pasuk speaks about, quote the whole Pasuk in the second line in 26, Im bechukosai teilechu v'mitzvosai tishmaru, if you keep my, if you follow in God's ways and keep his mitzvos, vasitem otam, and you do them. So says the Medrash, don't read it as vasitem otam, but rather it's vasitem atem, it's as if you've made yourself. Because the kiyum ha-mitzvos b'poa b'shlemos, by doing mitzvos and in the actual world, I am creating myself. I am making myself a new person. Every time I do a mitzvah, I learn something new about myself. A different part of my identity comes out. I move from the level of the b'koa to the level of the b'poa to the level of the actuality. And the end of 26, Ki amafteach lechol havodah v'lechol hashleimut hi amaiseh. The key of all of our voda, the key of reaching shleimus, the key of reaching that level of perfection is the world of the maiseh, the world of the action. It's ki'ilu asa et atmo mechadash. It's as if you become vasitem atem. It's as if you become new. Because you're not the same person you were before you did this action. You never knew this about yourself. You've developed, you've grown. You're an entirely different person. And that's the beauty of this world. That's the growth in this world. But you know, my friends, it's not only vasitem at otam, vasitem atem, that you become new, that you become developed, that you become a new creation, that you realize how much there is within you and you're able to allow that to flourish. It also has an effect on Dorei Doros and future generations as well. Again, in the Sefer Ben Mishpatayim, Source 27, the Gemara speaks about Amar Rabbi Chana Bar Biyuna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Chasida, Yosef Shekidei Shem Shamayim B'Seter Hosifu Olav Ot Echad Mishmo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef, in our parasha, was Mekadei Shem Shamayim by not being seduced by the wife of Potiphar. They added a name from God's name to his name. He's not only known as Yosef, but he's also known as Yehosef with a hey. Yehuda Shekidei Shem Shamayim B'Farhesya, but Yehuda, who was able to create a Kiddush Hashem in public, where he was able to publicly admit, Sad Kami Meni, in the story of Tamar, she's more righteous than me, Nikra Kulo Al Shmo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, is called completely by God's name. And you see here, he says, Yisou Nifla Ro'im Anu Medivrei Chazal, Dekol Ma Shadam Po'el Ba'alam Hazeh, everything that you do in this world, your Kona Malos Benasho, you acquire a certain component in your soul. And if you are Zochat Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, this is a Maila, this is something that changes who your identity is completely. But he continues in 28, and this is the key. Yehuda, who did this in public, and Yehuda's name has a yud kei vav kei in his name, has an effect in future generation. Dematzinu shikara mesirus nefesh haya matsui etzel shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda throughout history has been the one who's going to be mekadei shem shamayim, who's going to sanctify God's name. Yehuda was able to take this public stamp to create a sanctification of God's name, not to have a chil Hashem, not to have a desecration of God's name for generations. This quality will remain in Yehuda's Shevet. And that's how we find Nachshon ben Aminadab, who was the one who jumped into the water first. That's how we find Hur, who is Kalev's son from Shevet Yehuda, who tries to stop them from building the Egel. Because once you have inculcated this within yourself and your Moser Nefesh for this, and that you give your entire being for something, not only is it that you've created yourself, not only is it that you've developed yourself, you've imprinted this for generations to come. And we see many examples, like Rachel, who was able to have the Pelech Hashtika of silence. We see this in both Binyamin and Shaul and Esther. We see that the character trait goes from generation to generation. Our job is to develop. Our job is to work. Our job is to recognize that the work that we do is not only the work for us, it's the work for Dorei Doros, it's the work for many generations. And with this we can appreciate one of the opening Rashis in this week's Parsha. Avayeshev Yaakov, Beretz Megurei Aviv, Beretz Kanan, when Yaakov Avinu is sitting, Rashi tells us, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev Ashalva. What does it mean by Yeshev Yaakov? Yaakov is dwelling. That Yaakov wanted to sit Bishalva quietly in tranquility. Kafatala Rozel Shal Yosef, immediately came upon him the anger of the whole story of Yosef. Sadiki Mivakshim Leishev Bishalva. It's not enough that the Sadiki want to sit in this world peacefully. It's not enough what they are Mesuka and what they have. Save for them, for Olam Haba, for the next world. Also, now you want to sit peacefully? No. This world isn't to sit peacefully. This world is a world of growth. Yaakov Avinu, you want to sit b'shalva quietly in tranquility? That is for Olam Haba. That's for the next world. This world is a world of challenge. And the world of challenge means that it's a world of growth. It can't possibly be. It's a stira. It goes against the whole grain of this world. This world is not about, you know, just being on, you know, plateau land the whole time. It's about struggling. It's about sweating it out. There are no easy shortcuts in life. You want something, you want a kinyan benefesh, you want to acquire something, you want to grow, you want to develop. You have to work at it. You know, so often we live in this generation where everything is so easy. It's a press of a button here and a press of a button there. And like, who even needs to mail a letter anymore? I mean, that's already, you know, intense. You need an envelope, you need a stamp, you need to walk to the post box, and then you have to go buy the stamp. Do you know how many steps that it takes? No. What do? I sit on my computer, I type some words, boom, it's gone. No stationery, no pen, no envelope, no stamp, no walking to the post box. Wow, all I got to do is put on a switch and I have my computer on. We live in such a society. And don't think that that society doesn't affect us. It does. With the washing machine and the dryers and every technology that you have. I mean, who even needs a camera anymore? All you have is a cell phone. It does everything for you. It emails for you. It takes pictures for you. This is the world we live in. But recognize that it comes with a danger. It comes with a certain mentality of, and clearly on Yaakov Avinu's level, V.K. Shleishev HaShavos to sit and learn Torah all day, and so Yaakov Avinu on his level. But us on our level of V.K. Shleishev HaShavos, sometimes we just want to take the easy way out in life. And the society tries to generate our needs is to take the easy way out. Yiddishkeit says, life isn't necessarily about suffering, and no one says that. You have to suffer through life, but you have to work. And you have to develop. And the work can develop can be in positive ways. Chazal tell us that if a person has been decreed against this person that yisurim, that certain challenges should be given on them, Moshe Schwab brings down in the Sefer, Mar Chelei, that if a person is involved, Chazal tell us in Chesed and Emes, that can be in place of the Yisurim, of the challenges. If a person's going to have to work hard with Chesed, and it means I have to clean the house, and I have to cook extra food and buy extra food, and it's going to take a lot out of me to do this Chesed, and I'm going to do it b'simcha, so that's in place of Yisurim, that's in place of challenges. I'm just channeling in the proper direction. But it takes work, it takes effort. Anything that's worthwhile takes effort. And our job is to put in that effort. And that's why at the end of 32, this week, Amir Tashem, we begin to light Hanukkah candles. And the Bach tells us that why did the Gzeira happen? It's because there was a certain weakness in the Chashmonaim, a certain laziness in the Avota. And therefore they had to respond with the Mesiris Nefesh. They had to respond with their all, with taking up the gauntlet, taking up the challenge and saying, we're going to do, we're going to act. And that's why we have Hanukkah until today. That Mesiris Nefesh, just like by Yehuda, it had an impression forever. The Mesiris Nefesh, that amount of selfless sacrifice that the Chashvanaim show allows us to still be celebrating Hanukkah till this day. Hanukkah on this level, very briefly, is about being able to recognize it's not about slacking off. It's about putting our all into it. And Hanukkah is about the alacrity, the zrizus that we need to have in our Avodas Hashem. That, my friends, is level number one. We'll do level number two very briefly. Level number one, in summation, is that there's a challenge for us to do a mitzvah b'shleimus and b'simcha with its entirety and with joy. How do we achieve this? Do. The more you do, the more you develop. Be a person of action. The more actions you do, adam nifal kefibu latav. It's not enough to sit and contemplate all day. Invite in those guests. It has an effect on you and dorei doros. Life is about being proactive. Life is about developing myself. And life is about being able to discover when I go out all the different facets that are found within me. But there's another level of this medrash that I like to just end with. Beautiful insight of Shirei Das, Rav Bloch, tells Rosh Yeshiva Tzatzal. And he obviously asked, Divrei HaMidrash in 33, Tuhim are wondrous. Zechirak bishvil shakadosh baruch hu machtiv alav sarich lasot mitzvah b'levav shalem. Just because if it be written down in the Torah, that's a good enough reason to do it b'lev shalem. Halo chavat adam imasot ko mitzvah b'lev l'kavot l'tashlum schar. Do we not need to do every mitzvah with a whole heart without expecting anything in return? So he says, what does it mean? What does it mean that something's going to be written down in the Torah? And he says, when we're talking about something being written down, it's not chalila, it's not, God forbid, in 34, Eino domeh chalila l'mash anu. It's not, God forbid, like getting your name in the New York Times. You know, people are very proud of themselves. Here, my name is found in, you know, a big paper. But what happens to that paper a half hour later? You take your cucumber peels and you wrap them up in the paper and you throw them out. That's not what we mean, publicity. These people were not chas v'shalom publicity hounds. And if they knew that CNN and the New York Times reporting lahavdil alef alfei avdalos, they would have acted differently. No, that's not what it means. When something is written down in the Torah, it has a completely different meaning. And this is the yisod for life. Let's learn together in 36. He says, when you look at the two stories in the Torah, we're often struck by sometimes we have the greatest details, like the story of Eliezer finding a wife for Rivka, for Yitzchak. And some stories we know nothing about. Moshe Rabbeinu we know as a child. Then 80 years later, he shows up in Paro's palace. What happened? Medrash said he was a king, a prince for 40 years. No mention of it. Avraham Avinu, age 70, 75, appears on the scene. What happened before? No mention. How do we understand that some things are written down in the Torah and some things are not? So here's the yisod he mentions in 37. Kol hadvarim she'ru achar kach she'yesh lam erech b'hitpatchut habriyah u'behov al'ata l'tachlita hanitzchit. Any aspect of creation which is about the development of this world. And that which leads to the ultimate completion of this world, motim em et hadam b'tarat ha'chayim hazot, is found in the blood, in the dam ha'tara. V'lachein im zacha hadam she'eza mora shira uto nirshama b'kitvei ha'kodet. If something's being written down in the Torah Kedosha, it's not like lahavdil something written down in the paper reporting an incident. No! It's much deeper than that. Ein ze elo mipnei shu davar shimenu nivne ha'olam. This is Yisod. Every act that's found in the Torah means that it's nivne ha'olam. The world is built from here. The zelona set tamid aidei dvarim mefursamim v'gdolei haroshem. And that is not necessarily done by the most major things in life. What is the criteria? And we don't understand this on our level. But it gives us an incredible yesod in learning every pasuk in Chumash. Any pasuk that's mentioned, Eliphaz is wise, any pasuk that's mentioned is telling us that this, from here in Nivna Olam, the world is created. From here we have a yesod about what the world is about, how this is ultimately going to bring to the ultimate completion of this world. It's what we call the Dam HaBriya, the blood of the creation, the what allows it to pulsate, what allows it to flow, what allows it to flourish. And therefore, my friends, the top left source, 37, when all three of these individuals acted the way they acted, what does it mean had they known it would be written down in the Torah, they would have acted differently? It means had they known that what they were about to do, which in their mind seems so simple, that it was going to have an ability to affect the Dam HaBriya, the creation, that Mimena Nivnata HaOlam, and from here the world will be built. If Aaron would have known that Moshe Rabbeinu was himself so unsure, and that idea of coming out with a whole parade with the tupim and the cholos, so the drums and the cymbals, would have given him that extra confidence, then he would have done that. He didn't realize that. Boaz didn't realize how if he had made that meal for her, it would have given her the confidence that this giyaret, this convert, needed. So often in life, we just misjudge a situation, or we underjudge it, or underestimate it, where we don't think it's such a big deal. I'll go out for rachavas amachbalibo, and I'll be happy in my heart. But if we would recognize that this is part of the Dam HaBriya, part of the whole pulsation of the world, we would act differently. And he notes, and this is the punchline, second paragraph in 37, V'lachein hayita ish lachshiv v'lariach et erech eze davar tov shuoseh. Do any of us have this ability to be able to evaluate anything we do? Halo yesha shirin melo k'davar katan v'kal. It could look very simple to him. U'bemer ha'katu machtiv ala maseza shasa. But the Torah finds it worthy to write it down. V'lachein, and therefore, sariach ha'adam lasot ha'mitzvot b'leiv shalem v'sameach. Write everything. Do everything with simcha, with shleimus, with completeness. V'lahavin, and understand, ki afilu mitzvah kala yesh bekocha lif'ol b'vinyan ha'olam. That something small can bring a tremendous result. It can create worlds. And this is what Chazal mean, ilu haya yodea. You know, it's a gewaldic story that I once heard from Rabbi David Kaplan, where he spoke about a Rav comes into a Beis Medrash in Bnei Brak, and there's an Avrech, a young married boy, sitting there. And the Rav comes over this Avrech and says, Yasher Koach to you. You did an amazing job of bringing back together husband and wife in Shalom Bayis. So this Avrech, this young fellow, looks at the Rav and says, excuse me, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm newly married myself. What are you talking about? He said, I can't tell you what an effect that you've had. So he says, you got the wrong fellow. He says, your name is so-and-so? Yeah, my name is so-and-so, but I don't work in Shalom Bayis. I sit and learn. So the rest said, let me tell you a story. So a number of weeks ago, you were finishing learning, and you went to put your sefer in the back of the shul. And when you did that, you passed by a table where father and son were learning. And you stopped, and you said to the father of this 13, 14-year-old boy, said to the father, I just want to tell you what a tremendous son you have. He's a masmin, I always see him learning, and he's about midos, And he's just a tremendous individual. And I want to wish you yashar koach for raising such an incredible young man. And then you went back to the, you know, the bookcase and you put away your sefer. So the Erech Naz, you know, vaguely remembers such a conversation. He says, the Rav said, now let me tell you what happened, what you don't know. This father, who has very low self-esteem, felt tremendous about himself. And he realized that it wasn't only him, but it was also his wife who raised his child. So he went, when he left the Beit Medrash, he went and bought his wife beautiful flowers. And then said, you know, that's not really sufficient. I really have to thank her for raising such a beautiful son. And went and bought her favorite box of chocolates. And the Rav said, I've been working with this couple for months and they're shalom bayis. Those flowers and those chocolates changed around from a very negative shalom bayis to a beautiful home now. And it's all because of that compliment that you gave. This is what we're talking about. A davar kal, something so simple. Mimena nivna olam, the world is created from such things. Do you or I have an understanding of a casual comment like this, how it can change worlds? No. But this is the yisod, this is the fundamental principle we're dealing with here. This is part of the Dam HaBriya. And the Medrash concludes, and with this I would like to conclude now, my friend. Vachshav in 38, She'eno navi v'chazon, now that we don't have a prophet, mi kotev, who writes, Ha'im b'med eno rachshav mitzvot ka'edla she'esh lam erach kazeh, shiroyot heim likatev v'kitvei ha'kodesh? Is it true that today's day and age we don't have any actions that would merit being written down in this holy book? V'arei ma'asei b'nei adam pulotayim heim heim she'avi yosof kol sova ta'olam l'tachlito. Ultimately, it's our actions that are bringing Mashiach closer. And obviously, if the fact that Mashiach is not yet here, so that we're still involved in bringing him and doing actions that will bring L'tachlit HaBriya, the completion of the world. And who writes them down? The asterisk in 38. The Kan Megaleh Lanu Amidrash Chidush Kadol, the Medrash Ezra Blach Latzah, is teaching us a great novel idea, a great Chiddush. Kilo Nigmaru Kitvei HaKodesh B'Shorasham. In the Shorash, in the essence, the Kitvei HaKodesh have never been completed. Adayin Kitvei HaKodesh Nechtavim V'Nasim B'Chol Dor V'Dor. They're still being written down in every generation. We have nobody to give us over, no Torah, no Navi, no Chose to give this over. And that's why, who's writing this Sefer? Eliyahu and Melech HaMashiach. They're looking for actions that have that potential to bring the world a little bit closer. Haim Omdim Mitzapim, the end of 38 in the arrow, Al Kol Me'orah Me'orah. They're looking at every action. Is this action bringing the end closer or not? And they write down every mitzvah that has an erech tachliti, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu's chotem al yadam, and God signs and seals what they have written. And this, my friends, on the second level, is a deeper understanding of the Medrash. Had these individuals known, they would have acted differently. What does that mean? It means, had they known about the essence of their actions would be L'tachlis HaBriya, would be for the purpose of the world, as the world would be built on this, that what their actions were tremendous repercussions, they would have acted differently. And our challenge is to recognize that everything that we do has that potential to move the world closer. And therefore, as we saw in the first level, our job is to act with shleimus, as the Medrash begins with, that we need to act with a happy and complete heart. We have to do everything. Every mitzvah we do, when a person does a mitzvah, he should do so with a complete and happy heart. Because we don't know whether our mitzvah will also have that same effect. Or in a more positive way, we should understand the import of every mitzvah that we do. And we, my friends, you and I need to understand that it's not only about the Gedolei Olam, the great people that are written down this book. You and I could be in this book. Each and every one of us has this potential. That when Mashiach comes, you can imagine how we're going to run with quickness and look up in the index and see if our name is in this book. What ma'aseh that we've done, what ma'aseh that we've done, what actions we've done are meriting to bring Mashiach closer. And my bracha to all of us, my friends, is that when we go out and do a mitzvah, recognize and understand the power that we have. recognize and understand that there's a power of creating ourselves. There's a power of changing ourselves. Recognize and understand that there's a power of affecting and changing future generations with the mitzvahs that we do with tremendous mesiras nefesh, with giving ourselves totally. But it goes much deeper than that, my friends. Recognize that what we do has the ability to change the entire world. And that you and I have the ability to do a mitzvah that will be part of the Dam HaBriya, part of the creation story to bring Mashiach closer. That Eliyahu HaNavi Melech HaMashiach are writing down, the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Choltem Al Yedeyeh. And Mirtz Hashem, with all of our actions, with putting ourselves completely with a happy and full heart in that which we do, we should bring Mashiach b'mheira b'yameinu. Amen.